On behalf of Lois and, of course, all of the McLean family, I want to thank those of you who have come today to honor the life of this man who is a true, true good soldier of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord led the McLeans to our church, I think, around 1999, and I can tell you that there's not been a single Sunday, a single Wednesday, a single week since then that I haven't thanked the Lord. They were never a burden. He was never in any way, shape, or form the kind of man that drew. He always gave and gave and gave and served God. And I can tell you also that when we visited with them on that Friday and that Saturday, that, you know, I've told several people there since then, if there was a man that I could tell was at peace and ready to go, who knew he was going home, for one thing, and was ready to go home, and the only thing he regretted was really leaving Lois here, it was this man. He was just a soldier who had finished his course, who kept the faith. And I'm telling you, there was a crown, and is a crown there. And so today, it's a cliche. I think sometimes people use it, but not in this case. It's a celebration. He's a homegoing. It's a homegoing for him. And we want to pray for the family. We hope that today will be some help, some comfort. They'll look back. But for all of us here, so many folks here from Beacon Baptist, of course, who loved Brother Jack and love him, and we shall see him again. And so thank you for being here. You know, later in the graveside, they'll have military honors. He served the United States Army for, I suppose, 5 years or so, and he deserves that. But I can tell you, he served his country for more like 55 years and plus. He was always serving, and he served his Lord as well. And so let's ask for the Lord's hand of blessing on all that we say and do in this hour, shall we? Our Father, we are grateful this morning for the life of this dear man. And he is a father, he is a grandfather, he's a beloved husband, but he's our brother, and our brother in the Lord forever. And we thank you for his testimony. We pray, God, as we take this time together to remember him and to open your word, that you'll be pleased by what we say. We pray, God, that you will speak to each and every heart that's here. And we thank you, Lord, that we sorrow, but not as others who have no hope. Thank you that through our tears and our sorrowing, it's with eternal and true hope. Bless this time together, Lord, please. We commit it into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
This time, I just want to read a portion of Scripture. During a very pivotal time in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was right before he was led off to die on the cross for you and for me. But before this time happened, the disciples were very troubled. They were very conflicted, worried, confused. One of my favorite passages in all the Bible. It's words of hope and comfort, words of everlasting joy. In John chapter 14, these words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ to them, and they ring true for us today. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not now whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is not just a testament of your love and grace, but it is a hope. It is a promise that where you are, there Jack is also. That where you are, there we may be also, Lord. We thank you for the hope of heaven. We thank you for the stalwart soldier of the faith, and that he finished his course with joy. And may we, Lord, hang on to this, cling on to this wonderful promise that you gave to your disciples and to us this morning, that you prepare a place for us as well. Bless the rest of the service, Lord. We thank you for this time. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
July the 4th weekend, 2005, I preach a message from the book of Jeremiah that I titled in those days, America's Best. After that service, Brother Jack McLean came up to me and he said that he appreciated the message and he, quote, hoped that he and Lois were examples of that text. I looked at Brother Jack and I said, Brother, I said, I don't know of anybody. I've never met anybody in all of my life who better personifies the words of Jeremiah 29 and what we had spoken about than do the two of you. And so for over 10 years now, every time I think of Jeremiah 29, every time I read it or come across it, I think of Jack and I think of Lois McLean. I'm going to read to you what it says there in Jeremiah and say a few words from this text that he reminded me of. Jeremiah 29, it says this in verse 4, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of that city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Now I want you to understand for a moment the context of these words. In 597 BC, Babylon invaded Jerusalem and carried away over 10,000 captives to live out their lives in slavery in a foreign land. Included in that group were men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, very godly men. At that time, Babylon was the cultural and the carnal center of the world. It was a happening place, so to speak, full of debauchery, but it was no place for a devout Jew. They wanted to change your name, your clothing, your diet, and your God. Nevertheless, God told Jeremiah to tell these very captives that he would be with them in that land and that they should try to shine and make a difference in that very dark place. And so it's not surprising that what it says in verses 4 through 6 that I read a moment ago almost mirrors one of the essential goals described in one of the things that was at Jack's heart and his heartbeat, the Declaration of Independence of our country. You see, the Declaration says this: all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In other words, as we read a moment ago, build ye houses, live in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit thereof, get married, and have children. And then verse 7 says, seek the peace of that city. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. God wanted his people, even in Babylon, think about that, to increase there and not be diminished, to shine, to be an example of Jehovah God in that place. And of course, this has always been God's will. From day one, to Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it, he said. To Noah and his sons, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth. To Abraham, he said, I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. Notice the common word, fruitful, fruitful, fruitful. Of thee all nations shall be blessed. And then to the apostles, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Of the early believers, it says in Acts, quote, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. In other words, they made a difference wherever they were, wherever they went. I have a strong conviction based on Scripture and supported by history that in every nation in the history of the world, Babylon included in our text, anywhere in the world, the very best people who are citizens of that land are the redeemed people of God. I don't mean religious people necessarily. I'm talking about God's people, Christians and believers, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ who are actually faithful to his word. They have always been the light and the salt of any nation. And the reason in part is that this has always been God's original plan. God wants his people to live and obey the principles of his word that include hard work, honesty, family, submission to authority, holy living. All of that leads to blessing and prosperity, not the phony prosperity, but the real kind. The kind that Thomas Jefferson observed with the Virginia Baptists who received from God fruits for their labors, whose families prospered because they lived by the principles of this book. I mentioned Daniel. Daniel was a young man, a teenager, one of the Jews in exile. It's no accident that eventually he rose to second in power, both in Babylon and in Persia. The same with Esther and Mordecai. The same with Joseph in Egypt. They were absolutely the finest people that that nation had to offer. The United States of America, Brother Jack's second greatest love, only next to his family and the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know why this nation has been so blessed and so exalted in its brief history? You know, righteousness exalteth a nation. Because unlike Babylon and Rome and Persia and Egypt, the Christians in America's early days weren't just the best people in the nation. They literally founded this nation. As you know, most nations and empires are born out of conflict and out of conquest. It's greed and it's malice. But not so with this country, which first began when a group of humble people, simply pilgrims, wanted a place to worship in freedom. There are two words that come to mind when I think of Jack McLean. It is faith, and it is freedom. It's in that order, and for all of the years that I was blessed to know this man, he worked tirelessly to advance both. He was, in the words of our Lord, the salt of the earth. He was also the light of the world. If you go to my office sometime and you look at the visitor's cards that I have there, stacks of them from months past, from years past, look at the visitor's cards. These are cards that people fill out when they come to Beacon Baptist Church and they place them in the offering plate. And on the back of those cards, I'll tell you what you'll find, scores, hundreds of little notes, handwritten by Jack and Lois, because they made visits to these people that nobody ever knew about. Every single week, knocking on doors, visiting people, a burden in their hearts. For those who had visited, those who were lost. You know, Lois said to me on that Saturday, she said, you know, Pastor, today he would be out knocking on doors. They both would. It's just that today, this time, he knocked on the Lord's door. And he told him to come on home. You know, we serve a God who calls people into service from time to time. Jack and Lois, as you know, were called. Jack went to Haiti. He served there. They also went to Belize and served there. But they served everywhere. They knocked on doors. They had a nursing home ministry. That beautiful missionary board back there, when I walk by that, I recognize and realize that it's the result because the McLeans had a nursing home ministry. They invited a guest there one day. He's here, Brother Pat. They met him there, invited him here. He came to Beacon, and now, of course, he is here. And that missionary board, and one of the missionaries we support is because they introduced them to Beacon Baptist Church, and on it goes. Just as it says in this text this morning, Jack and Lois were people of fruitfulness. He bore fruit. Brother Jack, you should remind me that the original signers of the Declaration of Independence were everyday Americans. They were silversmiths, he said, and businessmen, landowners, preachers, and carpenters, people who worked and learned, who increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. They, as the Bible says about Jesus, they simply went about doing good. They weren't the criminals and the ne'er-do-wells. They were the absolute best. They helped guide a nation. They helped produce a nation, and they helped, as Brother Jack did, to defend a nation. And I am reminded by his life that's what Christians are and have always been called to be. Fruitful. I also think of him and I think of the word favor. Listen to what it says in verse 7. It says, seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray on the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Think about that. Pray, he said. Now Jeremiah is prophesying a long time ago about a pagan heathen land, and he said, pray for the people, pray for that city, pray for Babylon. I'm going to read to you what it says in 2 Timothy. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that authority, that we may lead a quiet, here it is, and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Think about that. Paul told Timothy to pray for Rome, to pray for Caesar. Jeremiah told the exiles to pray for Babylon, to pray for Nebuchadnezzar. And you'll notice that the prayers are exactly the same. Pray, he said, for freedom. Pray for peace in that land. Why? It's simple. That way God's people can grow and prosper and make a difference. I'll read the rest of it. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, there's a reason why we want to live in a land of freedom and peace, and why Jack worked so hard for that. You can make a difference in that kind of freedom. It matters in a land who sits on a judge's bench. You know, he ran for office twice, and I know some people probably thought, what? Why waste the time and the money? Because he cared. It matters in a land, even more so in a constitutional republic, who's in authority. And so we ought to pray. We know that righteousness exalts a nation. Thus pray that righteous men will rule and vote for them too, as Brother Jack was always willing to remind us all of. And when they're not the ones in rule, like Nebuchadnezzar. Pray that God will turn their heart, because the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. You know, it's interesting. Some of you in here, I know, look at our country and you shudder at the changes and how fast they are and the degradation. Jack's favorite question for me on Sundays and Wednesdays, oftentimes, was, Pastor, or he would say, Pastor, I need to meet with you this week. And sometimes he'd come by the office. But the favorite question was, Pastor, what's wrong with our country? I can't believe our country. He always reminded my dad. When I used to go visit my dad before he went home to be with the Lord, he'd be watching the news and invariably want to throw his shoe through the television. He'd say over and over again, what's wrong? What's happening to my country, Jimmy? It's going to pot. And Brother Jack always reminded my dad in that regard. And I have to tell you, it was always refreshing to me. I never thought to myself, you know, Brother Jack, you know, look on the bright side, think about this. It was always encouraging to me to see this man who was burdened, because Christians ought to be moved by a nation's folly. I'm thinking about Mordecai and Esther, and you may remember in the book of Esther there was an edict passed that Haman wanted God's people to die. It says in Esther that the people of Shushan, that means the regular folks, the citizens of the land, quote, were perplexed. That's it, just perplexed. People have seen these videos coming down from Planned Parenthood, and some people in this country are perplexed. Well, I have news for you. Being perplexed isn't good enough. Mordecai was not perplexed, as the Bible says there. He went all Jack McClane. He rent his clothes. He cried out to God. He put on sackcloth and ashes and wept in the streets with a bitter cry. And you know, as helpless as Brother Jack felt about what he saw on the news, he never quit. He never got so discouraged that he threw in the towel. He always believed in praying. Pray for our country. And you know, prayer is not some last resort when nothing else works strategy. It's the strategy. Because our God is almighty and all-knowing, and to God the nations of a country are counted, he says, as the dust of the balance. And I would say to the young people here and to all of us here, follow Brother Jack's example. Don't give up and pray. That's what God said to do in Babylon to the teenagers there, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach. You pray. All of God's people are admonished to pray for kings and all their authorities, so that in a peaceful land you can continue and prosper even as your soul prospers. Tomorrow will be our men's prayer meeting, and it will be one of the very few men's prayer meetings that Brother Jack did not attend. He always came, and he always had a shirt with a pocket and Bibles and cards and pens, and he always pulled out a long prayer list. And he would read through it, because he believed in prayer. And you can be sure that somewhere in that list was praying for our country and for freedom. There's no accident that for many years, America has been the world's mission board. Fruit? Favor? Yes. But I want you to notice that Jeremiah also mentions a truth there that reminds me of Brother McLean. I'm going to read it to you in Jeremiah 29 again. Here's what it says. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years will be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. I will. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what God was doing here in this promise and in this prophecy for his people? Do you know what he's saying? He's reminding them that no matter how prosperous they get in that land, no matter how blessed they may be, no matter how peaceful it ever gets for Babylon, no matter how fruitful they become over there, he's reminding them that it's still not home. And it will still never be home. They will always be strangers in a strange land. And by the very same token, no matter how dreary or how difficult or how discouraging things would become there, and they would for many of God's people, no matter how many times that they would want to throw their sandal into the Nebuchadnezzar Broadcasting Corporation, NBC, that's what that is, still God says this: be patient. Why? Because the years will ultimately be accomplished. God says, I have an expected end, and I know my thoughts towards you, and in the end, my thoughts are all good. Have you read the last chapter? Do you know where Brother Jack is at this moment? God says, build you houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take wives and sons and daughters and be increased. Don't be diminished. And pray for the peace of the city. But remember this, it's not your home. God has a glorious and eternal plan for his people. And that plan right now includes you and includes me making a difference where we are. This is the lifelong testimony of Jack McLean. He labored. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, that great resurrection chapter, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why is it not in vain? Because that's the last verse of the resurrection chapter. We sorrow, and the reason we sorrow not as those who have no hope, as we have hope, and we know that he lives with his Lord in eternity. You know, when John Adams was elected as our national leader, he wrote in his inaugural address in the notes of these words: there is no one in the world big enough to make you do what is right. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. Jack McLean wanted us to remain as that people, the light of the world, as Jesus said, the salt of the earth. But whether they do and whether others do or not, he did. And he hands the baton to us. And he calls us to do the same. For some in this room, Brother Jack would say this. He would say, in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, you must be born again. That it's not enough to be a moral people or a good people. That in order to have eternal life and a home in heaven, and as Andy read a few moments ago, that mansion that Jesus has gone to prepare, in order to have that, you must be born into God's family. And to be born into God's family, to be born again, you must put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and he alone, not your works, not your church, not your religion, but what Jesus did for you on the cross. Today would be the day, the perfect day, for those of you who have never been saved, to open your heart to the gospel of our Lord Jesus. For those in this room that are saved, today is a day to remember the words of our Lord. When Mary and Martha were weeping at a funeral service, the Bible says Jesus wept. Jesus, the Son of God in flesh, he wept. He didn't weep so much for Lazarus because he knew that in a few moments Lazarus would be alive again. He wept for the people who were brokenhearted. The scripture says that God is nigh unto those that have a broken heart. He's close to those of a broken heart. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But he also said to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. His body may die, but you will never die. Jack McLean is not dead. He's with our Lord. Let's take that baton and let's run with patience, faithfully, the race that is set before us, keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lois, we love you at Beacon Baptist Church. The days ahead and the months ahead in particular will be difficult. There will be birthdays and holidays, and Christmas and Thanksgiving and elections. And they'll especially make you think of Jack, and you'll miss him. But you're still in the race, and we're here for you. And you're a fruitful lady. And I want you to pray for her and her whole family. Be thankful. Be thankful for the example of this true man of God. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful today for showing us in the life of a man the simple life, what it means to live by faith, and how it was nothing for this man when he heard a call to just help a missionary in South America, to go to Haiti, to work in a nursing home, to run for office, to knock on doors, to pray faithfully. Thank you for what an encouragement and an example he's been to our young people in this church. We pray, God, for Lois, that you will comfort her, strengthen her, give her grace, help us to be here for her as she joins the other widows in this church, many of whom are here right now. There are such powerful examples of faith and grace. Bless them, Lord. The graveside service to follow. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.